Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. We come here today to hear your word, Lord, and to listen for your voice in our lives. And yet, we let the noise of the world, clanging with distractions, clamoring with lies, drown you out. Still us, Lord, to hear your quiet voice. Too often we are misled by our preconceived ideas of how you work and what you have to say. Awaken us, Lord, to hear your surprising voice. Stubbornly, we impose our views and plans on you, praying only with our demands and expectations. Humble us, Lord, to recognize your challenging voice. Give us today the courage to affirm the words of the prophets. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our first scripture this morning comes from the 14th chapter of Acts, verses 8 through 18. In Lystra, a man without strength in his feet, lame from birth, and who had never walked, sat and heard Paul speaking. After observing him closely and seeing that he had faith to be healed, Paul said in a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he jumped up and started to walk around. When the crowds saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaon language, "The gods have come down to us in the form of men." And they started to call Barnabas, Zeus, and Paul, Hermes, because he was the main speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the town, brought oxen and garlands to the gates. He, with the crowds, intended to offer sacrifice. The apostles Barnabas and Paul tore their robes when they heard this and rushed into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are men also, with the same nature as you, and we are proclaiming good news to you, that you should turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to go their own way, although he did not leave himself without a witness, since he did good, giving you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, and satisfying your hearts with food and happiness." Even though they said these things, they barely stopped the crowds from sacrificing to them. Our scripture text this morning comes from the book of 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 10. The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. In those days the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. One day Eli, whose eyesight was failing, was lying in his room. Before the lamp of God had gone out, Samuel was lying down in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was located. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "I didn't call," Eli replied. "Go and lie down." So he went and he lay down. Once again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "I didn't call, my son," he replied. "Go and lie down." Now Samuel had not yet experienced the Lord, because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Once again, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy. He told Samuel, go and lie down. If he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came, stood there, and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel responded, speak, for your servant is listening. This is the word of God given to us, the people of God, and to the world. Thanks be to God. Raise your hand if you sometimes have a hard time hearing God or discerning God's voice. Interruptions define our lives, don't they? Our days and nights are full of gadgets that ping, buzz, and beep their way into our attention, taking us away from whatever we're doing. Our brains focus quickly on one topic, then switch to another, and another, and yet another. It's really bizarre. It's like we are constantly on overload. Neuroscientists say that there are fundamental biological limits to what our brains can pay attention to, and I believe it. How about you? But it's hard to resist a blinking inbox or a buzzing phone, kind of like a dog can't resist a squirrel running across your yard. One study has found that a typical college student can't go for more than 2 minutes without becoming distracted by social media, whether that be Twitter or TikTok or Snapchat, text, Instagram, or just the internet itself. It's hard to concentrate when you can't focus on one thing for more than 2 minutes. And it's not just younger people. People everywhere seem to be experiencing an epidemic of overwhelm. According to studies, the average business person receives and sends out about 109 emails a day. Wow. And that rate is growing each year by about 7%. And texting, of course, is bombarding everyone. According to a book called Driven to Distraction, all this stuff is a huge problem. There are inpatient centers now for people with technology addiction. Marriages even break up because of it. The surge of texts and social media notifications in recent years is giving many of us terminal distraction and always-on availability. The co-founder and CEO of Vorex, Michael Salem, says he gets about 1,000 messages a day. He admits that he's overwhelmed. He says responding is a daily thing, 24 hours a day. He says that he barely sleeps, taking calls from global users of his product from his bed at night. The idea that we are supposed to be able to monitor and troll through all this stuff and keep a handle on what God is up to at the same time seems absurd. Some people say things such as, my life is lived on the internet, which means it's not lived in the real world. With all these interruptions and distractions, how in the world are people supposed to be able to listen for and hear the voice of God? In our scripture lesson for this morning, it says, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. What I think that the writer of 1 Samuel is trying to tell us is that people weren't listening. I'm going to say it again. People weren't listening. God was talking. He was nudging people all the time. He still does that. And it wasn't that God wasn't sending out visions or his word. It's that people weren't hearing him. They weren't paying attention. And in a lot of ways, isn't that what's going on today? God is always speaking. He's always calling. He's always nudging. But do we hear him? Or does it sometimes feel like the word of the Lord is rare? There aren't many visions. According to data from the Gun Violence Archive, the amount of mass shootings in the United States this year has almost doubled the number of days. As of today, this is the 226th day of the year. There has been over 405 mass shootings in the United States. Does it seem that sometimes we feel like the word of the Lord is rare? It sure can seem that way, can't it? It's like everyone out there is going nuts. What voices are we hearing, or what voices are we listening to? Are we just listening to a bunch of good-for-nothing garbage? There are a lot of snake oil salespeople racking up lots of minutes on the airwaves and in our eardrums. It's hard to know what is true and what is false. And some people may just throw up their hands and say, "Where is God in all this?" it can become extremely difficult to listen for God. But isn't that exactly what we need to do? Is anger and fear all there is to this life, to this world? Or is there a higher purpose? Our gated communities, ridiculously expensive cars, embarrassingly expensive clothing, all that stuff that is just blowing in the wind, is that what this great world and life are about? Why God created us? Is it what brings us happiness and fulfillment? Are we meant to be self-centered and miserly, or is there another way? Is there any hope, or is this life just a cruel joke? Is it all meaningless, or is there meaning? Is there a purpose? Is there a reason to live? Hannah, Samuel's mother, was at the end of her rope. She was not able to have children, and she very much wanted to be a mother, so she took a chance. She promised God that if she could have a son, she would dedicate him to God's service. And what do you know? She became pregnant and had a son, and she named him Samuel, which means God heard. She kept her promise to God, and Samuel grew up in the temple from a very young age. He lived in the temple, he slept in the temple, and helped the high priest Eli take care of the temple. He was kind of a full-time acolyte or full-time altar boy, maybe. The Bible says that Samuel slept in the same room as the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was where the power of God was most present. Samuel, he was about 12 years old at the time. When God first called to Samuel, Samuel thought it was Eli who was calling. He wasn't expecting God to speak. He hadn't been listening for God. It just wasn't something people did. Finally, Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. Then Samuel went back and lay down and waited and listened carefully for God's voice. Sometimes Christian friends, mentors, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, and even pastors can point us to God's voice. Other times it may be a homeless person or someone who is hungry, or an act of kindness, or a door we open to God. A commitment on our part to do the right thing. And before we know it, God's voice is booming in our hearts and minds. In any event, when Eli told Samuel that God was calling him, Samuel became expectant. He was ready to hear. I remember having a pastor who was sure that I was being called to the ministry. When he told me this as a young kid, not long after I accepted Christ as my Savior, I started listening and I started hearing. It took a long time, about another 10 years, but I finally heeded God's call. What events in your life or people in your life has God used in order for you to be better, to be able to hear God's voice? Perhaps you haven't heard anything yet, and I'm not talking about an audible voice. Or maybe you haven't heard anything in a long time. How can you become ready to hear? What distractions do you need to move out of the way in order to be prepared to hear God's call? In verse 10, we are told that the Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Notice the words, calling as at the other times. Not in some new way, but in the way God had been calling the entire time, all along. And God is always calling us as well. This time, when God called, Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Isn't that awesome? But how many of us really want to hear God's voice? Now, let's be honest. It can be risky to ask God to speak. It changes our lives if we listen and act on it. Because no matter the details of the call, God always calls us away from self and selfishness into a new life lived for God and neighbor. If we heed the call of God, we will never be the same again. But isn't that what life is all about? Do you want to know the will of God for your life, for your every moment in life? Do you want to love God and other people? Do you want to live life the way God intends for you to live? Do you want to do the good that God has prepared in advance for you to do? Do you want to be free to do all of that? It's hard to do if we are living in a what's in it for me or how will it benefit me mindset. God isn't a commodity, neither are people. Studies show that listening doesn't come naturally for most of us, and it can be a real problem. Ever been ready to refute what someone is saying without really listening to what they are saying? I have. We aren't always good listeners. And it's a problem that we have in the relationships that we have with other people. So just imagine what a problem it is when it comes to having a relationship with God. In 1 Samuel 3:15, it doesn't say Samuel went to sleep after God spoke to him, but it seems to imply that he laid in his bed and thought about and even wrestled with what God had told him. He meditated on God's word, and when the time came, Samuel spoke God's word to Eli and later to all of Israel. He took time to digest what God had told him and then proved the truth of God's word by putting it into practice. And verse 19 says that the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Clearly, the emphasis of 1 Samuel chapter 3 is on listening. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? There's a lot of noise in our world, a lot of distractions, and it would appear that a lot of us have no interest in really, really hearing God. And so, it may seem as if in the year 2022, when the word of the Lord is rare, but it's not. The Lord's word is everywhere, all the time. God is continually speaking to each of us. And when we listen to what God is saying, when we act on what we hear from God, not only do our lives change, but our world changes around us. So I challenge myself to listen for God's continual prompting and calling and leading. I pray that I would hear. I challenge myself to allow God to be in control and get Jeremy out of the way. I challenge myself to get rid of all the distractions and garbage that hold me back in my ministry and my walk with Jesus. Will you join me in this challenge? When the Word of God speaks to us and then through us, whether it be in actions only or if we have to use words, it never fails. It never falls to the ground. May it be said by us, Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, that God is always speaking and many, many visions are happening, that lives are being changed. And may this city and this community and this world become a better place because we have decided to listen to God rather than garbage. I pray that in Jesus' name and for His sake. Won't you join me in prayer this morning? Our merciful God, who is pleased to condescend to speak to us through your word, grant us all grace that we may not be mere hearers of your word, but doers also. Give us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may live and believe what has been proclaimed to us. May we bring glory and honor to your name in all that we do, as you conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. All of this, gracious Father, we ask in His holy and blessed name, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin. My hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my arms. I will hold your people in my
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.